in thinking about circus, so you know, there's a lot of perspectives, a lot of angles to take. And so we're going to try a few different ones during these shiurim. But to start with something that we mentioned already on the video shiur, which is, let's start simple. Sukkos is Zman Simchas Seinu, we know. That's clear from Chazal. And it's also a Zeichel Me'akavod. And everyone wants to know, the Alshech, the Tur, everybody wants to know, Ma Keshon Me'akavod to now. Right? Tesvav Tishrei. We had the Nene Kavod for 40 years in the desert, and we came out of Mitzrayim 6 months ago. Why are we doing a Nene Kavod now, of all times? So the tour has his answer that he brings, that it's in Chanami we should really do it by Yetzias Mitzrayim, but that's when everyone's going outside to camp out, right? The summertime. And now everyone's packing up and coming in, and we're going out. It's clear we're doing it for a mitzvah. Okay? It's the tour's derech pshat, so to speak, approach. So the Vilna Gaon in Shir HaShirim, he says differently. And he says that really, when we came out of Mitzrayim, we had an Anei HaKavod, and it was great. However, by Chet HaEgel we lost them, and then we went through a process of gaining them back. And ultimately, the gaining them back really was now, but the process was that initially, the original plan was that Hashem was going to destroy us completely. That was the initial plan. And Moshe Rabbeinu davened, then he saved us from destruction, right? Which was stage one, which some of the Rishonim referred to as slicha, right? Where Hashem is, the evader is there and it has impact, but we're not going to get punished anymore. And Hashem agreed not to destroy us, which was the original plan. Then Moshe Rabbeinu does another 40 days till Yom Kippur, where he gets the sin itself forgiven. Right? And what Hashem had said by forgiving us was that he won't kill us, but he's also not going to hang out with us, right? Which it makes sense. You know, Chazal referred to the Chet HaEgel as the equivalent of the kala of the bride committing adultery under the chuppah. There's nothing under the chuppah. So you picture that, for not in too much detail, but if you don't picture it in your head, you know, it's an exciting wedding. But there's no way that couple's got, I don't care what kind of shalom bayis you want to give, that couple's toast, right? It's one thing when you assault me or hurt me in some way. It's one thing for me not to press charges or not to punish you or retaliate in some way. But it's another thing for us to be buddies, go out for beers and hang out on weekends. That's a whole different level of forgiveness, right? It's a restoration of the relationship itself, and that's really what we accomplished. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu really helped us accomplish by Yom Kippur. And we came down and we built the Mishkan, and then even though Hashem had said that he won't dwell with us, and he has to send a Malach, he said, build this Mishkan and I'll dwell with you. And we started building it on Tesvav Tishrei today, tonight, whatever, Sukkot time. And the Anenei Kavod came back as a symbol of the restoration of our relationship, the reparation of our relationship with Hashem. And now he was back. And now the Grub points out that not only was he back, the truth is it was better than it was before. The Anenei Kavod that we came out of Mitzrayim with were very Ruchani, right? And they... only the Nevi'im and those kind of people were able to see them, whereas the Anenim that we got now by being the Mishkan really was visible to everyone in the whole world. Right? So on a certain level, it was actually better. And the Gra says this is in the Bracha we say in the morning of Avar Abba of Tanu. And we say about Kriyashma, which is about the Torah, so the tremendous love that he had for us gave us the Torah, and then Chemla Gedel Yisayru Chamat Aleinu, the Chemla, the compassion that he had, which is the same letters as Mechila, for us was Chem Gadilav Yisera. It was huge, and it went beyond. Yisera means too much. Meaning the compassion that he had in reestablishing the relationship with us actually went further than the relationship was originally. Things got, in a certain sense, better than they had been. Okay, and that's Yisera. That's just too much. Right? It's enough he didn't kill us. It's enough that he restored the relationship to be with us, but then to have it be stronger or better in some way, that is really ridiculous. Okay, just overboard on Hashem's part. And that's now automatically you understand the tremendous simcha that we have now, which is the fact that we were forgiven, not only released from punishment, but forgiven lagamri, and Hashem willing to b'shchanti b'socham again, with this visible reminder of the ananim, we could see we want to do zeichel and eriyah kavod, and why that would be zman simcha seinu. It all comes together very nicely, right? That was sort of what we spoke about before. So I just wanted to add a little bit to it, which is really what the... there's a lot of different ways to view the Chagim. As we have a whole system of Chagim here in Judaism, which really starts with Pesach and ends with Purim, right? And there's a few different systems, which we're going to discuss more at length in future shiurim. There's a few different systems at play There's an agricultural system at play, and then there's the Tishrei ones. There's Shana Yom Kippur, which really starts Tisha B'Av, but the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Sukkos ones, which are more about din and our personal relationship with Hashem. So that is so Sukkos really plays a double role in those, which we're going to get to. Okay, not in this piece. We're going to get to, and Chanukah and Purim, which are the Derabanan ones about Golus. See, you can kind of look at them all as individual, kind of discrete little packages. And certainly each Chag is its own thing in and of itself. But also you can look at the year as a whole, and really what the whole process of Pesach to Purim really is one long development. So, right, which would make sense. Right, we experience, it's certainly not accidental that we experience the Chagim in the order and way that we do, starting with the Pesach and ending with Purim. It's not coincidental that that's how it turned out. And that's not just, you know, historically, this is when those things happen. So looking at it, we can look at the development in terms of relationship. Okay? And we can look at the whole process as us deepening our understanding and appreciation for what this relationship with God was. And it was Pesach's question was an incredible act. The Tavach Hartanu, we call the Amin, Hashem chose us, He took us out of the nation, destroyed the entire people that had wronged us. It's a gigantic act of Chesed on Hashem's part, and we did very little to have anything to do with it. We actually didn't deserve it on any level, if you go through the Chazals there. It was an act of love, and it was really kicked off the relationship, without question. And then, and the Torah itself, the giving of the Torah, which the bracha for which always starts, has the word love in there. Avarabba and Avas Olam, the bracha of Kriya Shema about Torah, a tremendous act of love. And we say, Tavachartanim Kalamim was Pesach, Ahavtos Anu, was Shuas. He gave us the Torah, another act of love, a certain type of relationship. And then, Sukkos v'Ratzisa Banu, that's what we'll discuss now. Right, so what is it that's changing, and how can we follow along with it in terms of these chagim? So, really, let's start with zero. Okay, let's start ground zero, so to speak, which is no relationship with God. Okay, none. And I think that's the natural position of man, which is a sense of God as really what we refer to in the Pesukim as Ram, right? Ram being high, beyond us, right? And really, one of the values of studying other religions is that, you know, other religions, they have the unfortunate property of not being true, right? That's an unfortunate problem that they have. So their popularity then, and their lasting power, it has to be that they resonate with people. Understand? In other words, if you have truth, it doesn't have to resonate with anyone, right? Truth is the truth, right? Nobody likes not smoking. It's just the truth is that it kills you, okay? Everybody loves smoking, right? Go back to the 50s, everybody smoked. It was amazing, and it's still amazing, okay? And don't believe anyone who tells you differently. It's just now the truth has become so clear that you can't smoke with a clean conscience because you're killing yourself and everybody around you, okay? That is, no offense to any smokers listening, you should stop it. Okay, that's a fact. So the truth doesn't have to be appealing, it doesn't have to resonate, it doesn't have to reflect any deep-seated beliefs of people, it doesn't have to do anything, it's the truth. Truth stands alone, okay? That is the truth. The Gemara on Shabbos says that all the letters of truth, Aleph, Mem, Tav, the letters of Emes, they all have two legs or a solid leg that they can stand on all by themselves, okay? They don't need your help. But with Sheker, all the letters all have come to a point, they can't stand up on their own, you have to hold them up. So it doesn't mean you have to hold them up. It means that they have to be resonating somehow with you. That you're willing to, you have to have a willingness to kind of suspend disbelief to buy into these things because they, on some point, feel right. Okay? They're not right, but they feel right. And that's what they need in order to keep going. So if you look at the great religions of the world, the great ones, right? The ones that have endured over time in varying forms, so you could really learn a lot about the natural religious sense that man has. Right, they were all built with it. Every primitive tribesman is built with this sort of natural sense of a god and of religion. See which ones stuck, which ones took over, which ones stuck. And obviously the big ones are, Christianity and Islam. okay? Ignoring the East and what they have to teach us. Okay, in our more Western world. Okay, Christianity took over everything and everyone. And not just because they put everyone to the sword. And who didn't agree? Okay, it also in popularity because it resonated with people, and it still does. Okay? It still does. So one of the things, so in looking to that, to see sort of what naturally people think about God, what people think about naturally is that God doesn't think very much of them. Okay, and that's clear for anybody who studied, certainly, you know, so to talk about Christianity as a whole is a little interesting because it's so many different things, so many different movements kind of within there. But definitely, I'd say in its kind of, you know, vague Catholic sort of, you know, tzad hashava type things, you know, God's a very scary thing. And he's very far away, and he doesn't care about you, really, really. He can't, because he's too lofty and too beyond. This, the Malbim says, the idea of Hashem is Ram, right? Ram hu al kol agoyim, that the way they see God is beyond us. He's too far. He's. But what would God want to do with pathetic little me? Okay, pathetic little sin-addled, you know, physical, crusty human that I am. Why would God want to have anything to do with me? He's God, you know what I mean? I don't even, I feel flattered when, like, the manager of the supermarket comes over to talk to me, right? It's like, oh, the manager himself came up, right? That's already, whoa, I'm so important, right? The manager came. So certainly to talk about God, you know, God himself having something to do with me, caring about my world, my petty little existence, is just insanity. It's just an insane thing to think, and it's not true. There's no way that resonates at all. What resonates with us is that God's too important. He's too important doing godly things, right? So obviously, you know, the whole thing is nonsense, but you know, that idea, and then God having to create some sort of intermediary of half God, half man, or I think more accurately, all God, all man, some sort of Ish Elokim, which should sound familiar. And now this, you know, man-God, go-between intermediary, him we can interact with, and him we can deal with, right? And that's the creation of that, and the need for such a thing resonates very deeply with people, because I'm such a pathetic loser. Why in the world would God want to have anything to do with me? Okay, and you know, so just for a second, as an aside, our response to that is going to be what? In other words, what am I not a pathetic loser? Is that what we're going to claim, that I am important enough for God to pay attention to? Okay, that's going to be hard to sell. Right, people have an innate sense of their own patheticity, which is for sure not a word. Patheticness, whatever the word is. Yeah, but let's start with there as a start. Let's say that's how people feel. And it is how people feel, because Christianity is very popular. Very popular. For a very long time. Right? So clearly that's how people feel naturally. So the starting point is there, is that God couldn't possibly care about me. I'm not worth caring about. Okay? That's where we begin our process. And Pesach really begins the... And so now, and who could be... Who possibly could be a more pathetic loser than a slave? Okay? Slaves are, even in a world populated by even, you know, kings and things, you know, subscribing to Christianity and these things, you know, believing on some level in their own unworthiness. So if kings are there, so can you imagine how a slave feels? Right? It couldn't get more pathetic. He's the most pathetic of the pathetic is a slave. So starting point for Jewish people as slaves, there's no way, abandoned by Hashem in a certain sense, to be crushed by each other and just abused. They weren't even slaves. They were just, you know, babies bricked into walls and bathing their blood and stuff. We were just things. We were not human anymore. Right? Insanity. Legit insanity. And so the natural feeling about Hashem is going to be, why would he have anything to do with me? Right? What value could I possibly have that would appeal to a god? It's just too much. And so Pesach then, as an initial move, is going to be our first movement away from that mentality into living in a world where there is a God who is interacting with us. But the question is, how did we understand that in this first stage? So from the chazals that we've seen, it seems like in Pesach we really didn't deserve anything. It was true, we were undeserving. Halu evdei avodah zarah, halu evdei avodah zarah. We weren't, Malachim couldn't see the difference between us and the mitzvah. We weren't doing so well. Hashem had to give us a few mitzvahs to give us the schus to get out of there. 49th level of tumah and these things, we really weren't doing well. Right? And so what we experience primarily is Hashem as a Baal Chesed, meaning Hashem in taking care of us despite the fact that we deserve nothing. This was really a maneuver that was really about Hashem. It said more about God, than it did about us in those moments. And that Hashem would stoop down, so to speak. From the garbage, he would stoop down to the garbage and the dirt to take us out. That was a very powerful act on Hashem's part. And really kicked off the rest of our relationship. What's our sense of our role in this thing at that point? Okay, that continues into Matan Torah. We knew already from Yetzias Mitzrayim there was going to be a Matan Torah. Okay, it was clear Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that they're going to come serve me on this mountain, Al Har Hazeh, he told them. So we knew it was a process of Yetzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah. And so then in getting the Torah Shavuos, really what kind of solidified for us was that really the Pesach thing was not like a flash in the pan kind of, rich guy passes the pathetic homeless person on the street and throws him a quarter on his way to work. God was going to stick with us, but there was a contract involved, right, which made a certain amount of sense to us. Okay, and that was because the whole thing didn't make any sense. It was the initial maneuver we had of Hashem doing anything for us already didn't make any sense. Okay, so the idea that there would then be a continued relationship, that is mind-boggling, but the idea that relationship would need some sort of contract would make sense. In other words, of course, that we have to keep our end of the bargain. Of course, there's something that we have to be doing in order to continue this relationship, and to be zoche, and to qualify this kind of interaction with Hashem, right? Of course, there's something required of us to do this thing. Why? Because we don't deserve it in any... We don't deserve it in any sort of sense. It has to be earned, this relationship. It was a tremendous act of chesed that Hashem saved us originally, but all of it was kind of tallowy and dependent on this accepting the Torah thing. And in accepting the Torah, what we're really saying is that, listen, this relationship is not a given on any level, but here's a contract. If you can keep your end of the deal, we can have a special relationship. And that's amazing. That's an amazing gift. And it's an amazing gift of love that was the offer of this relationship with Hashem, built off the system of Torah mitzvot, was incredible. But remember, the underlying sense is that we shouldn't be having a relationship with God, right? And so this contract is everything now. Okay, it's the only shot that we have. It's the only chance that we have, for any real kind of relationship to take place. Because naturally, remember, going back to the natural or Christian feeling, naturally, this relationship shouldn't be taking place at all. Okay, this is an unnatural thing, and it's strange, and so I'm going to hold on to this contract that's giving me this chance to have this thing that shouldn't be happening. I'll hold on to it for dear life. It's chayim hilamachazikim, but I'm going to hold on to it for dear life. Kehem chayenu v'archameinu. That's everything. It's everything that I have. It's everything that I am. And that is what we call Kabbalah Satorah Meyira. Okay, there's fear there. What's the fear that comes? It's funny because they talk about, on the one hand, we're saying Shavuos is referred to with the word Ava, Ava Rabba, Avtanu, Avas Olam. It's all great. Giving the Torah is a tremendous act of love, without any question. Right? And in the davening, Atavach Atanu, Ahavta Yisan is referring to Kriyas HaTorah, but that's Kabbalah Satorah Meyira. Right? Because, of course that's true. Because every love comes with fear. The fear that comes along with every love is the fear of losing the potential for loss. And the more blown away you are, and the more you are just overwhelmed by the love being shown to you, the more frightened you are, and the scarier it is to know that you could blow this thing, and that you could lose it. And the more valuable it is to you, and the more incredible it seems to you, the greater that fear is going to be. Okay? And so the idea of Kabbalah Satorah Meyira and of it being Ava really goes together very well. Okay? And it flows nicely from what we're saying was the initial position of the Jewish people. Right? We're getting into the Hava Mina, so to speak, of the Jews, which was God shouldn't be having anything to do with us. Okay, which is now, okay, he's willing to have something to do with us, but if, it depended on this contract that he gave us, and we're going to hold on to this thing with everything we got for dear life. Okay, literally. Okay, because it's our whole relationship with Hashem stands or falls based on this contract. Okay, that was the initial maneuvers of Pesach and Shavuos. Puts us into that thing. We're in a whole new world where now there is a God who wants to relate to us for some reason, some inexplicable reason, but has given us a condition. It's a conditional relationship. It's given us these conditions, which is the Torah, system of Torah mitzvos for that relationship to take place. And he's very clear that if we stray from the contract, it's all over. Okay? And just like I was sas, just like I rejoiced in taking care of you, he says, and we said in Dvarim, so too I will rejoice in destroying you. It's pretty straightforward in the Chumash. Okay? And that's what we're holding by Kabbalah Satayra. Okay, and then moving forward from Shavuos, what happens? The unthinkable happens. We blow it completely, right? They're actually at Shavuos. We blow it completely in a big way, right? It's literally life-ending, history-ending, Jewish people destroying way with the Chet HaEgel. Okay, we blow it. We blow the contract right after we got it. Okay, and it's in our remember, in our current frame of mind. That's it, and that's how Hashem responds. And he said, "That's it. I'm gonna wipe you all out. I'll start off with Moshe." That was the reaction. That's the expected reaction, which is because I never understood why God was putting up with this in the first place. Okay, we primarily didn't deserve a relationship with God because we're a bunch of pathetic losers. The fact that he offered it to us was kind enough in his, you know, unfathomable kindness and love for us, decided to offer us a relationship, and then we blew it. So, okay, again, another chance, right? It's a bunch of nonsense. So in the lesson of the whole next part, through the whole process, which for us we call, you know, Tishba V'Shani Yom Kippur, the lesson of that whole thing, which for them commenting in the Yom Kippur idea, was that that's not true, and that the relationship was reparable, it was fixable, it was that there could be a second chance, was mind-blowing to them, right? It was a whole nother step. The idea that it wasn't a once-off, that it wasn't just, here was an opportunity that you didn't deserve to begin with, I'm certainly not giving you another one, to this idea of ritzui, right? We say, Ahavto son of Ratzisa banu. So explain that ritzui means that I want it, that I want this, that Hashem wants this relationship, right? What's the difference between the Ahavto son of Ratzisa banu? If he wants the relationship, so he's willing to make it work. He'll take compromise, he'll take tshuva, because he wants this relationship to be there. It was the first time we saw that. This was the nafkamina that we blew it, and there was a system in place for Hashem to take us back. That means that he wants it on some level, and that was for sure world-shaking and mind-blowing for them. Altered completely their concept of what this relationship was about. And that's the step now of Zman Simchasenu. So not just like we said in the video, that now I know I'm safe, right? That now I know I have safety, of that I'm safe in the relationship. Which is true, right? Which is why the uptightness, we said, of Pesach is replaced by the relaxness of Sukkot, that now I know I can be and grow and develop in a healthy, normal fashion. And not every misstep is going to lead to everything ending, right? On Pesach, a misstep and it's karis, right? Whereas in Sukkot, I'm taking a nap and I'm doing mitzvahs. I drink a glass of wine, I take a nap, and I'm good to go. Okay, it's a much more relaxed world because it's a world in which I'm secure in my relationship with Hashem because he wants the relationship. Okay? And not that it's free, not in an unconditional love kind of way, you know, in the popular movements of today, with a very maternal God, where whatever you are and whoever you are, you know, only mom could love you. It's not true. You can blow it. It is somewhat conditional. Right? You can behave in a way where you lose it. It's definitely not true. It's pasha not true. It's you know, Shulchan Aruch Rambam not true. There is tshuva that you have to do, but the tshuva process allows for human error, right? Check out the Chovos Levavos and the Shara Tshuva that I think we spoke about before. It's clear that we're going to be continually falling apart and coming back together through tshuva. Tshuva is just a continual process that we live in that allows, gives us this safe space, right? Where I can make mistakes and there's a system in place to take care of it, and the relationship's not in danger, okay? The relationship's not in danger because it's remedy-able, okay? And it's because of the ritzui, Hashem's rotzeh. There is no happier time. Now I have that safety and security. L'chora, this really was a very different God that we're relating to. Okay, inexplicable from our initial thing. Right, so far from the initial God that we had, who was you know, so lofty and divine and godlike that he would never stoop so low to deal with us, you know, crusty humans. You know. Now we have a God who not only did, and it wasn't a once-off, but actually, you know, offered the opportunity for a continuous and long-lasting eternal relationship with us. But then even when we blew it, it didn't just give us a second chance, but actually the way we said before, actually, the second chance maybe even was a stronger relationship with the first one. Set up a system in place that'll always be true, demonstrating he wants a relationship with us. Very different God that we have now, but not fully there, okay? And I know we're skipping a few things, but going to Purim, just for the final stage, okay? Purim was the end of our holiday cycle, is the end of our holiday cycle. And so just to end it on Purim, Purim went one step further, because even now, which we'll call phase two, which is really phase three of our first understanding of Hashem was primordial, no relationship. Then we had the Pesach Shavuos thing, which was yes, conditional relationship. Then we have our Sukkos thing, which is really not an unconditional relationship, per se, but a relationship with a sense of security, a relationship that Hashem himself is interested in, so to speak, right? A much safer space and a much more powerful love on Hashem's part. So what's left? Right? That's pretty good. Right? And we know we're not going to head to full on, right? We're not heading to full unconditional love. There's no such thing. There is a system of mitzvahs and averus to break the news to everybody who's living with the belief that they could do whatever they want and everything will be okay because Hashem loves us. It's probably not true. Okay, we know that's not true. So what's the next stage? The next, if you look at Purim, and I think we spoke about this Purim time, but if you look at Purim, very quickly, the big error that they made on Purim, you know, the Jewish people destroying error that they made there was not a chet ha'egel, it was also an avodah zarah thing, but it was the suda, right? The Chazal pointed the suda that they went to. Right? That was really the chet ha'egel of their time, so to speak. So what they saw at the end was that at the very suda where they had done the avera, Hashem was already arranging for them to be taken care of, right? Hashem kills off Vashti at the suda where doing the avera, long before they've done tshuva, okay? Long before they did anything right. Long before they even realized maybe that they did anything wrong. Before there was a gzeira even to motivate them to tshuva. Before Haman really, the whole thing was set up in place. Makna mefu lamaka, Chazal say, that Hashem set up for them to be saved while they were doing the wrong thing. Okay, that's a new step. That's a new step they didn't see before. Because in the Chet Ha'egel process, what they understood is that we can blow it. Even when we get to Sukkot, we can blow it and be destroyed. But if we do tshuva, then Hashem's with us again, okay? But when we stray, we really lose the relationship, but it's reparable. We can go to therapy and have a shalom bayis share, and we can be back together with our husbands again, okay? But we really do lose him in the in-between. What Purim showed us is that it's not true, that we never lose him. Hashem, Hashem, ani Hashem lo shinisi, from the Yidgim Midas Aracham, Hashem doesn't change. Hashem loves it. The initial love he showed us by Pesach really was true, that it was unconditional on his side, that the relationship from Hashem's perspective is unconditional. He doesn't stop loving us and trying to take care of us, regardless of what happens and what we do. Okay? It was never on him. While we're doing the Avera, he's taking care of us. Okay? While we're doing the Avera, he's setting things up to take care of us and save us. Now, had we not done tshuva, done the thing, it wouldn't have happened. Okay, Pashup Shot. Don't give me all the Midrashim, okay? And for sure, on a personal level, you don't do tshuva. You're over chiyuv karis. You don't do tshuva. It's over. You get karis. That's what chayiv karis means. But what we're seeing is that from Hashem's side, from his perspective, nothing's changed. He never leaves us and he never abandons, never tries to do anything but show us love and take care of us. What was the whole system of Torah mitzvahs about then? The relationship wasn't dependent on that? Yeah, not from his side. That was about you. The Torah and the mitzvahs that I gave you, that's because that was you. This was your part. That was, the gift was that you now had a part of the relationship. You weren't just this pathetic homeless person that I'm throwing money at. You got to be an active, dynamic part of this relationship. That was the gift of the Torah. And now you vote yourself in and you vote yourself out. You're choosing not to have a relationship with these things, and that's on you. And I'm not going to force you to have the relationship, says Hashem. I want it, and I want it badly. What I showed you on Pesach, what I reiterated on Sukkot, was I want this relationship. And you could blow it, and I'll give you a system to come back, but you have to come back. I'm not going to force it. Because what kind of relationship would that be, really? And on Purim, we saw it. We saw that he was there trying to take care of us while we were doing it. We were turning our backs on him, and he's taking care of us in that same way. We never saw that before. That we didn't see by Chet Ha'egel. That realization then, that from Hashem's side, he's only ever one thing happening. And that all the Torah mitzvahs are really just about us choosing the relationship or choosing our against it and turning our backs on him. That led to a whole new Kabbalah Sotir Mi'ava. Okay, that's why Purim is the new Kabbalah Sotir Natsukas. Because now I re-understood what the Shavuos event was. And that it never had anything to do with Hashem. And that's not something I had seen before. Okay? So following this whole evolution of our concept of Hashem, and specifically our understanding of this relationship with Hashem, we've gone so far from the initial Christian concept of a God that couldn't possibly deal with us. Because he's so lofty and holy, right? And we're so pathetic and filthy. To a God that not only did help us, take us out of the garbage and raise us up, but who also gave us a contract, a means of Torah mitzvahs to continue that relationship, who also then gave us a way to remedy things, to fix things, if something happens, if the relationship gets damaged, and then showed us ultimately that from his side, there is no damaging the relationship. That all he ever is love for us and care for us. And that the rules that he gave, the contract that he gave, wasn't ever about him. It was a way for us to step in and embrace that relationship with them, or chas v'shalom, the opposite. Okay, so now here we are on Sukkot at the Ritzui point, which is, you know, I kind of ended it badly there because now it should be Purim. Right? That should be the grand finale. But Sukkot here, where we had that initial recognition that this wasn't something that was going to go away. And then Hashem was Rotzeh. So just bear in mind, you know, the Purim-like messages in the past, and now he's got the Zman Simcha Seinu should be for you personally. Everything of Jewish people and history and these things, but you personally, the personal process that we all just went through, where we screwed things up. Let's be honest. We screwed up the relationship. We messed things up. We did the wrong thing. We fell into patterns that were unhealthy and destructive and counter to the Torah and to what Hashem told us was good and what our role was here. We messed it up and we did tshuva. And to recognize that Hashem has accepted that tshuva now, and to remember the lesson that it's not just he accepts the tshuva like, oh, you're not going to get punished. He accepts the tshuva because that's a him telling you, because he wants it. He wants a relationship with us. He wants a relationship with you. Could there be any happier message to get? I don't think there could. All right. Everyone have a wonderful, wonderful chag.